Welcome et bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com. That's right, that's me, aka Le Grand Papa B, aka Gaston Lebanor. Hey, B Black, why do you use nicknames that you don't use regularly? Because I can. That's the answer, because I can. Today's episode, guess what? It's being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on Wednesday, February 5, 2025. 5 days in. Today's episode is still rated R and F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record labeling as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast may not be for you. Okay, before I start, let me shout out all you listeners out there, man. Give it up for your beautiful selves. What's that hand raised over here? Oh, it's your first time. Oh, okay. All right. So someone referred you to this podcast? Oh, man, to you and that person, welcome. That's right. Here's hoping that you stick around and, who knows, make history together. Lingering effect. That's what I hope for. We both leave this interaction feeling better than before we interacted. All right. Okay. Reminder, shutuppodcast.com is the website and email address is shutuppodcast401@gmail.com. Hey, for those of you in the dating scenes, and you're 50, how do women react when you tell them you got an email address? I'm kidding. I'm acting. Wait. Okay, hold on. If you're dating your age, I tend to like be judgmental when I see you have a Hotmail address. Oh my God. All I'm saying is you better have some good pussy, or be a great cook, for me to overlook the fact that you still have a Hotmail address. You know what would suck if you're a new listener and that's the part that made you say, oh, fuck this podcast. I got a Hotmail address and I'm going to die with my Hotmail address. All right. It's a joke. All right. Today's episode, title 238. The working title for now is After Watching the Tiger Miniseries Documentary. Documentaire. I talk exactly. It's exactly about that. Is I watched it over the weekend and I was moved by it enough to make it a feature thought for today's episode. That's right, gang. I've stopped using the label final thought and I'm gonna go with featured thought. Cool. Hey, yeah, I feel so clever with that one. I notice. Every time I record, I'm coughing. All right. Well, when I die in my autopsy, he's hoping. I hope someone will go through the podcast and say, maybe his cough was a symptom of blah 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 blah. Some long word, and then it leads to a cure for cancer. Who knows? Whatever. All right, so before we get to feature thought, let's share some quotes, all right? So first quote, it goes, and it's already up, it goes, maturity is when you don't force people to choose you. No author to credit for this one. This second quote is more of a prayer that I found on TikTok. And the content creator's name is Extraordinary Human. And this is what he had to say.
This is my prayer for you. May you attract people that speak your language so you don't spend a lifetime translating your soul. Oh!
Did you hear what he said? May you find someone that speaks your language so you don't spend a lifetime translating your soul. That's deep. That's really deep. It's kind of wild on this podcast. That's pretty much what I'm doing. A, I'm learning to figure out my voice, find my voice, and the hopes is finding someone who is receptive to that voice. No fluff, no gimmicks. Just it's like I know what this dude's talking about. I should emphasize a lot of like my target demographic is fellow black men who are also on a healing journey. But yeah, God damn it, Dan, I'm going coughing again. Oh wait, I've been coughing all day. Who am I kidding? Yeah, I still got that lingering cough, gang. I especially when I talk, I notice that. Oh wow, there's the pattern. Okay. Just two quotes. So, and then now let's do some randomness. Okay, let me share some random thoughts. Random thoughts is like it's my way of saying I found shit online that I want to share with you, but I'm not gonna focus as much time on this thought as I'm going to focus on the feature thought. So, it's coming in amuse-gueule, like a amuse-gueule. Comment sur amuse-gueule en anglais. Appetizer. Okay. All right. An amuse-oreille. A tingling on your ear. Okay. All right. First things first. So in therapy this week, I before my session started out, my therapist was like, I'm going to paraphrase. She doesn't talk like this, but it'd be like, God damn. People will shut the fuck up about Trump. She doesn't talk like that. No, she did say that. No, she said that how when we just started and she just leaked out. It's like, yeah, man, no, I spent most of my days speaking about Trump. And what's funny is I had no intention talking about Trump. But I was like, well, since you bring it up. I'm going to make this agenda, this topic. I'm going to call this topic The Chaos Called Trump. And I feel like I'm navigating through the chaos better than when he went, better than I did in his first term. You know, there's going to be some Canadians out there going, oh, what the fuck, man? It's American politics. Where the fuck would that matter to you? And I'm realizing a lot of people who say shit like that is they don't understand. They do not understand the concept of empathy. It's like when shit that bothers us, something is wrong with my baby. Okay, it doesn't have to go to that extent, but, you know, it's like shit happens across the world, and I don't have to be related to this human being for me to be like, that's fucked up, and for me to feel like some kind of emotional distraught. So again, I am not speaking to you. If your first thought was, why the fuck are you talking about American politics? Click off. Shut the fuck up. I'm not talking to you. But I am going to say, there's this clip that on TikTok I discovered. It's by, what's his name? Isring Klang. He introduces this new term called, okay, let me get his name. His name is Tabaknak. It's a long clip, so I'm not going to play the whole thing. Yeah, it's a long format clip. Let me just hit pause before it hits play.
If you want to understand the first few weeks of the second Trump administration.
There we go. His name is New York Times opinion, Ezra Klein. And I recommend, oh wow, it's 13 minutes, 20 seconds. So I heard it this morning, holy fuck. Yeah, anyway, it was long. Anyways, for those of you going, what the fuck is going on? Trying to find some kind of, like, what the fuck is this Trump dude doing? Who's like, some people are like, oh shit, is this like blindsiding us before we go to war or whatever? I recommend checking out this clip. And he introduces a term called muzzle velocity. Now, I'm not going to speak his language. I'm going to let him give you his take on this Trump term. What the fuck is Trump up to? What I am going to say is my interpretation is after this dude won the election, far as I'm concerned, it's too late. It's over. Fuck your what should happen. It's like, I took it as, for those of you familiar with Game of Thrones, the Battles of the Bastard, that episode, Battles of the Bastards, pretend like you're on Team Jon Snow, but after he lost. That's how I feel like. So Trump, after the election, he's pretty much said, thank you for the nuclear code. Thank you for all this power. Me and my homies are going to get rich. I feel like if you look at politics like war without bloodshed, well, our side lost. Even though I'm not an American citizen, the side of decency lost. And just like after every war, you're like, retreat. Retreat till we get to higher ground. Retreat, we'll figure out our next strategy now, but re-motherfucking treat. And this is just after they, like, declared victory, they got the guns, they're not running after us yet, but it's like, motherfucker, it's on. And all we can do is we're all in retreat. When black people in the States, black voters, especially black women and black men, said, fuck y'all on your own. Don't ask us for shit. That was their way of saying, yo, we showed up to the fight. Y'all weren't there. Now we know who the fuck we can count on. They're also in retreat, but they're like regrouping, figuring things out. And you know what they're not doing? Including your punk ass, trusting your punk ass anymore. No more, calm down, B. No more, we need to work together. No. You figure it out, white folks. Whatever the fuck problems you have, y'all keep falling for the same okey-doke. You guys are traitors in this class war. Figure out, y'all, do some soul searching, but one thing you are not is, wait, am I saying this right? Is allies, or trustworthy allies. So everyone's in retreat. Well, yo, all this bullshit Trump's been throwing at us, we're in a fight. I've been feeling like I'm in a fight. I'm on the ground. Okay. Sorry. I just realized my Battle of the Bastard analogy is not working. Now I'm going to a different analogy. It's like, I'm in a fight. My team lost and I'm on the ground and all I know is to protect my face. Hope whatever, like I'm getting kicked, I'm getting punched, I'm surrounded, and I'm just hoping that I survive to see another day. That's how it feels like right now. And like I said, the reason why I realized that I was keeping it all in, all this Trump thing, is because I've been handling it better than I did before, in a sense that I'm self-regulating. I've accepted that, okay, we lost, I'm in retreat mode, pray we see another day. I'm not saying I'm freaking out. I'm saying I'm in guard your grill mode. I'm in. So when Trump is like, oh, plane crash, DEI, tariff warfare, Canada, you're going to be the 51st state. Y'all need to stop fucking around and protect your borders. And then Pierre Poilievre and all his people are like, well, you know what? Trump's got a point. All this bullshit going on, it's just like poof, kicking the ribs. And boom, boom. Live to see another day. I'm in that mode right now. People showing up to talk about it with a therapist? No, I get it. But, I mean, I'm not dismissing it. I remember bringing up, I'm like, I can't tell if Trump is like, there's a method to this madness, or I'm just mad. I mean, I'm just mad like the English. Are you mad? Are you crazy? Like, I'm thinking of, if, I don't know if those of you who watch Veep, that scene where Selena, not Gomez, Selena, holy shit, what's Selena, what the fuck, Meyer, Selena, oh my god, yeah, Veep, Selena. Elaine's character from, Elaine from, I'm speaking too much on this shit, okay, my point is, sometimes I'm wondering if Trump's, the people, his advisors, are like, okay, we need you. All we need to do is keep him away from the nuclear button. Like, all this shit that he's doing is his advisors saying, yeah, you know what? Instead of clicking on the nukes, how about you attack DEI? How about you do this? Again, I don't know if he's a crazy motherfucker doing crazy shit, or he's got, there's a method to his madness. But one thing's for sure, like I said, guard your grill, protect your sanity. Because that's what he's going after it. In this Ezra Klein explanation, he's saying this whole bombardment is him convincing you that, nigga, I'm the head nigga in charge. Well, I'm the head white boy in charge. It's his strategy. It's like, look, man, I can't play this political game. I would suck. If I can't lay out an argument, bring it out into Congress and debate it, nah, I would lose. It's easier for me to, like, sign these executive orders and say some bullshit and go crazy, because then it will convince you that I'm running shit. I run shit. So, shout out to DMX. RIP DMX. Anyways, so I'm just going to wrap up everything that I'm trying to say with, I'm going to rap by playing this beautiful rap song that I discovered, this beautiful poetry that I discovered on Reddit, out of all places. And he said it, he explains it better than me. He goes, hit play. Oh, sorry. Content creator's name is A Gift from Todd. And here we go.
We're in the middle of a hostile government takeover. I want to talk about it, but I'll be late for work. Uh-huh. And if you're saying, wait a minute, who we have to stop this? We have one, but you didn't want the lady in office. Now that we're a part of a Nigerian prince scam, surprise, surprise, it ended up being a white man. Oh, I just want to know, what the hell do I do? Probably drink.
Oh, that reminds me. Yeah. I know the tariff war is somewhat over, but just because the United States pissed me off, Shut Up Podcast and Be Black and the host Be Black swears we are boycotting American liquor and American weed. I don't know if I said that on the last episode, but fuck it. I redeclare my commitment. Fuck that. Okay, sure. There's a small exception for black-owned brands, but yeah. But as far as I'm concerned, no American liquor will touch these lips. Sorry, I feel fun. All right, okay. Hey, by the way, did you know 420 is on Easter? Holy shit, looking forward to Easter. By the way, for those of you who practice Lent, you should try giving up weed for Lent. Because you're going to love Easter. Don't show up to church, though. Or mass, but Easter's gonna be amazing. 40 days without weed, you will lose your mind. And don't listen to people who say, no, Lent ends on Easter Monday. Fuck that. Smoke weed on the 13th. Smoke weed on the day of crucifixion. So, Friday. Good Friday. Yeah, I won't go into details, but I gave up weed and porn. That was the best Easter of my life. All right, okay. Do I have this clip? Sister Jasmine Crockett, or Representative Jasmine Crockett, says she's tired of white tears from mediocre white boys in blistering rant. Let me play the actual video. Oh, really? You're going to leave me on? Hold on. But you know, let's just say she pissed off a lot of white boys, as they do. Let me tell you something, man. One thing I've learned, as much shit as I talk about white people, one thing I've learned is the real ones, and when I say real ones, I don't mean like, I mean, white people who are on top of their game. White people who believe in, who are like in excellence, whatever. Whether they're shitty white people or whatever, right? People who are under excellence don't have excuses to why they've lost. They're not like, oh, fuck, I could have been a billionaire, but a fucking DEI. Or finding excuses. Look, in my experience, the people who bitch about DEI, are compensating. Are compensating. I know a white dude who, two examples. I know a white dude who's like a shitty character, shitty at their job, and they're in a supervisor role. And God forbid I hear him bitch about how, oh, I would have made it, but employment equity is behind me. I'd be like, nah, man, it's not employee equity. It's not the fucking immigrant. It's not employee equity. It's not the woman. It's not the trans person. It's you. You suck. Pick up a book by 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, and you'll recognize that you've broken several of these rules. Anyway, so Jasmine Crockett, she said, you know what? I don't have the, okay, I got the clip. She goes, Texas Democrat representative, the Democrat rep spoke out on CNN against white supremacist Trump and his attacks on diversity initiative. Texas Democrat representative, Jasmine Crockett spoke out on CNN against white supremacist President Donald Trump and his attacks on diversity initiative, saying she is tired of white tears from mediocre white boys abusing their power. Where I got this article, someone made this joke about how, fucking DEI people. It's like the same white person will complain about DEI is the same white person whose dad got them the job. It's, yeah, but Edward, whatever. So Crockett responded after host Laura Coates brought up Darren Beatty's appointment to a senior position under Secretary of State Marco Rubio. Beatty, a former speechwriter for Trump, was reportedly dismissed during Trump's first term after it was revealed that he had attended a conference along white nationalists. In particular, Coates brought up in October 2024 tweet in which Beatty said, "Competent white men must be in charge if you want things to work." Shit. Unfortunately, our entire national ideology is predicated on coddling the feelings of women and minorities and demoralizing competent white men. Oh my God, there's a video of, is it Garrett Hayes, who explains like, yo, white men do not have a monopoly of on competence. To this, Crockett said, break it down, sister. He needs to go. This is very simple. We right now have a white supremacist that's sitting in the White House. He is backed up by other white supremacists. Yo, white supremacist with a criminal record. If you only want to know who the criminals are in this country, you can Google it. You don't have to trust me, but the people that commit 80% of the most violent crimes in this country are white supremacists. Or white supremacists. Yet for whatever reason, sit and they serve the pleasure of the president. They were the ones on January 6th tearing our democracy down physically, and now we have them tearing us down from within. When Coates noted that Trump has, despite credible evidence, denied being a white supremacist, Crockett laughed and said, "I don't care what he said." What's with all the spaces in this? I feel like something is not loading. "I don't care what he says. You can hear what she said in the video below." Okay, here we go.
"Ears. Listen, if you are competent, you are not concerned. When I walk into Congress every single day, you know why I don't feel a way and why you can't make me doubt who I am? Is because I know that I had to work 10 times as hard as they did just to get into the seat. Mm-hmm. When you look and you compare me to Marjorie Taylor Greene or me to Lauren Boebert, there is no comparison. And that is the life that we have always lived. So the only people that are crying are the mediocre white boys that have been beaten out by people that historically have had to work so much harder."
All right, so this is not the full clip I was looking for, but essentially, I like how she said, yo, how the fuck, I can't paraphrase it, but how the fuck y'all gonna put me on the same, is how fucked up white supremacy is, in the sense that Representative Jasmine Crockett is compared to lowlights like Marjorie Taylor, whatever the fuck, and Lauren Boebert. It's embarrassing. It's disgusting. It's fucked up. Fucking poor Kamala Harris. Or Obama is getting compared to fucking Trump. Are you, man? Yeah. It's ridiculous. And then they get, you know, they're going to be on some, you know, it's so fair for us white boys. I don't think you understand how this shit works, but whatever. All right. Okay. Let's turn into lighter news. First, I want to start this next segment by saying, fuck the Grammys, man. Who gives a fuck about a goddamn Grammy? With that said, Revenge of the Lunatic. Well, the story is, you probably heard Kendrick Lamar won a shitload of awards for the song They Not Like Us. I still remember when the first diss track came out by Kendrick Lamar. I'm laughing at, because goddamn Drake, all this started because Drake, I mean, it started way before, but in this context, I'm thinking of that rhyme on the, Kendrick Lamar's rhyme on that Control verse where he says, I'm trying to murder you niggas. And punk ass Drake was like, I dare you. And then fast forward to now where Drake is like, froze out a diss track against, I mean, I know he didn't initiate, but whatever. Froze a diss track against Kendrick, and this dude thought he was going to finish Kendrick, was going to do to Kendrick what he did to Meek Mill's. Sorry, it's kind of funny. He puts out that Tupac AI track and saying, come on, punk, come on, bitch. And then, wow. And then Kendrick comes back. A storm was brewing. Drake made the mistake of believing that the reason why Kendrick Lamar was not responding in a timely fashion is because he was scared. Well, deep down, what he was doing is brewing a storm. And then the first diss track came out, second diss track came out, third, oh my God. And then fast forward, this was like, was that May, June, May 2024? Fast forward to today. This dude wins a Grammy on a fucking diss track. I used to think, yo, this is going to be a bit. I used to think the worst thing that could happen to you after an ass whooping is finding out that some asshole recorded it. Didn't jump in to help you out. No, some asshole recorded it and uploaded that shit on YouTube, on the internet. And then it goes viral. I thought that's the worst that could happen. Fuck that. Winning a goddamn award for that? Hey, do you not see me bleeding on the floor? Do you not see him kicking me in the teeth? Everyone's like, yeah, give him an award. Oh, my God. Kendrick opened his mouth. What is the line? Someone give him an award. Whatever. Anyway, wow. Wow. Eviscerate. Hip-hop at a next level. Before I fucked your bitch, you fat motherfucker. I'm like, wow, this a Grammy. Oh, right. When the first diss track came out, I remember I was so taken. I did three episodes titled, like part one, part two, part three, The Revenge of the Lunatic, and it was all dedicated to Kendrick Lamar's ass whooping of Drake. Which I didn't think would win an award. But yes, Revenge of the... What Kendrick did to Drake was equivalent to a track by... made me think of a track by Tupac. And it's called The Revenge of the Lunatic. Or is it The Wrath of the Lunatic? Revenge of the Lunatic. Let me make sure I got the title right. Is it Revenge of the Lunatic? That's right. And there's a line in that track. He goes, looking like a bitch because your whole fucking posse broke out. After Kendrick launched that first diss track, I was like, yeah, that dude is not Canadian, or he's not black. I mean, he's Canadian, but he's not black. First thing I did is disassociated myself from that guy. I'm like, look, I'm a black Canadian from Ottawa. Drake is a white boy from Toronto. We are not the same. He's not like me. And it's, yeah. But anyways, congratulations, Kendrick, on that award. I'm entertained. Yes, I'm fully entertained. And damn, I wish someone would do what Kendrick did to Drake, would do that to, not in a diss track, but I mean, would like eviscerate. Not just eviscerate, but like, it was God's plan to show you the liar. Whatever the line. Anyways, yeah. Okay, last line. This one is a meme that I discovered on, on Reddit. And in the Loblaws is out of control subreddit, and it goes, the title goes, pretty soon we're gonna run out of things to boycott. And it's that boycott of that indecision guy, and then the guy's picking between shop at Walmart and support American, shop at Superstore and support Loblaws. And it was so apropos. It was what I like about this meme is because on the last episode I talked about how I caved in and started shopping at Loblaws again. Give a whole story about how I was pissed off that no one was like, hey, we missed you. No one gave a fuck. And two, everything that I wanted was on the shelf. I was so pissed off on how efficient, effective Loblaws was. Fully stocked self. It's like they got people working there who like, yeah, we're providing great stuff. All this to say that part of my reason for ending my boycott with Loblaws is, one, I was a hypocrite because I kept going to TNT, and two, I was reevaluating. Why was I boycotting it? Because I was mad some dude was getting rich? All these motherfuckers are getting rich. And whatever. So, yeah, now I'm at back at Loblaws, but boycotting Walmart. I think I just need to get a Costco membership, man. But yes. Yeah. Goddamn Americans. All right, okay. All right, this concludes randomness. Now let's get to our featured thought. And before we do that, we're going to take a quick, beautiful break. All right, see you in a bit. And I'm back. Je suis de retour. Nous sommes de retour. By the way, it's only a matter of time before this becomes a French podcast. Right now, you know, in true Franco-Ontarian style, this is my dominant language is English. But I'm starting to realize that I don't think I can make fans out of black Americans. Or I don't think I want my target demographic to be black. Don't get me wrong. No, I don't want to say that. I'm not saying I'm rejecting it, but I'm saying, if I go into my French, then I'm going to alienate. I'm going to, I can see that's going to be a problem. Like, the only black American I might attract is black Americans who speak French or trying to learn French. I got nothing but love for black Americans. Actually, I might dedicate a whole episode about my love for black American culture and the people. And, yeah. And the contribution to my lives. But what I'm saying is, look, I remember when I was a rapper, I wanted to imitate like my favorite rappers. I wanted my audience to be Americans. And only realized, but I can't put out art that, like, if I'm being real to myself, it's like I'm trying to say go with what I know. Stick to, yeah. Anyways, speaking of being real with myself, this is why I need to talk about the documentary by Tiger Woods and the miniseries. Now, I should explain that the reason I'm so late, I understand this documentary came out back in 2021. Is that it? It was released January 2021. Let me read a quick excerpt from Wikipedia. It says, Tiger, the name of the miniseries, is an American 2021 two-part sports biographical documentary miniseries about professional golfer Tiger Woods. It aired in two episodes on HBO January 10, 2021. Goddamn. And January 17, 2021. The documentary is based on the 2018 book Tiger Woods by Jeff Benedict and Armin Kiddian. Okay. Let me see. The book? Okay. What I'm interested in, it's a biography. I'm curious on how much input, like, did Tiger, like, okay this book? Prior to writing the book, Benedict Kenyon read over 20 books previously published about Woods' life, including Woods' own memoir. Okay. Okay, here's, okay, let me get to the point. First, let me start off by saying, my trip in New Orleans and the cruise. Oh, my trip to New Orleans, I was watching, while I was sitting uncomfortably in my Air Canada seat, I was watching, rewatching, I should say, Neil Brennan, the comedian, special, his latest special. And there's a part where he talks about, there's something he said about Tiger Woods. Maybe the joke is all about, you know, people who achieve excellence, but they're only good at that shit that they're excellent at, and they suck at everything else. I don't know. There's more to that joke that had me said, that had me write down Tiger Woods documentary that made me want to explore it even more. Anyways, I'm glad I did. I'm glad I followed up. I'm glad I looked at my notes and said, oh shit, yeah, I need to watch this documentary. So I found it on HBO and finally watched it. And it had me think, this is, I'm going to fast forward. I still remember that infamous voicemail Tiger Woods left on his side chick mistress's voicemail saying, hey, yo, my wife is pissed. I need you to remove your name from your voicemail because she's going to call you and I don't want her knowing that it's you. Oh, now I get it. Okay, if I'm putting two and two together. Because she's... After watching the documentary, okay. Yeah, because the mistress sent a text message to Tiger Woods saying, love you, babe, or hope everything's good, babe. And Tiger Woods calls her up and says, yo, I need you to change your voicemail because she's going to call your number and I don't want her knowing that it's coming from you. Anyway, what does this matter? Focus. I still remember that voicemail. And I still remember walking to, must have been a Thursday, going to the barbershop and joking about it. I remember feeling a sense of superiority on myself because I'm like, yo, I ain't no player. I may not get bitches, but I know enough not to leave a fucking voicemail like that on your side chick's voicemail. And it was like my moment of, look, it was my way of compensating for the fact that, I got no chicks. I didn't pick up girl. I was not a pickup artist. I did not score. What I'm trying to say, I was not like a Casanova type, right? I was like a more of the nerdy type. But it was my way of feeling like, hey man, I don't get laid, but I know I'm smart enough not to do that shit. Anyway, and yeah, but it was like comedy gold at the barbershop after that day. Fast forward to now, after watching the documentary, and I gotta tell you, man, it made me think a lot about human existence, what it means to be human being, or, because I love how this documentary gives you the full picture. First, the first episode is like all about how he's a great golfer. Boring. Anyway, whatever. A great golfer, amazing golfer, yada, 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 whatever. I had to Google. It's like, what makes a good golfer? Is it just because you put the hole in the white ball in the hole? Is that what made it? Whatever. Anyway, but, and then episode two is where we get into the scandals. But the way to describe, the documentary resonated. This is all this to say how the documentary resonated. It resonated to me as a preacher's kid. By the way, I think that was my second episode or third episode of this podcast. where I talk about being a preacher's kid. It resonated with me because I can relate to having a double life. Okay, I want to be clear. No, I am not comparing myself to Tiger Woods. But the whole double life thing, how he was like, he started out amazing golfer. Yo, that dude was golfing since what, age of 10, of 10 months? Like, he was like out of the womb, they gave him a golf club. His dad was training him, I guess his dad was to him what Michael Jackson was to, Michael Jackson's dad was to him. But like, look, fuck anything else. All you're going to do is golf. But I want to play the tambourine. Fuck a tambourine. That's all he did. And I remember when the scandal came out, all these women that Tiger Woods was with, I remember thinking to myself, shit. Like, I was, like, connected to Tiger. I'd be like, yo, you give me all these accolades, all this money he made from golf. Hell yeah, I'm going to have a lot of women. It's like I connected to, like, people were acting like, okay, the people in my circle were acting like he was a dysfunctional human being for having all these. Like, it was entertaining, whatever, right? But I related to that shit. You would classify me as, what's the word they used? Is it pussy hungry or putting pussy on a pedestal? I'm not sure what it was. But I was in that category of men who were like, women was like everything to you. You weren't a cast. You were like, you were the shy type. You're probably the nerdy type. You were the I don't know how to speak to women type. I don't know how y'all do it type. But I related to that aspect of Tiger Woods' life even before the documentary. I remember, like, when the scandal came out, the first thought was, I feel there's more to the story than I need to. There's more to the story than I need to know. I think I should stop judging this man. Now, not a podcast. This is not an episode about excusing whatever. Whatever you want to think about Tiger Woods, power to you. I'm telling you what I got out of it. So one, I connected to this whole having a double life as a preacher's kid. And two, being getting all this success and then... And the women coming around and going with the flow. It's like mistaking love for, I don't know, what do you call it? For lust. There's one of my favorite part of the documentary is when he explains how, did I write anything that? No, I'm off the dope. One of my favorite part is when he met his mistress. What's her name? I'm gonna be that kind of podcast that actually does some research and actually uses name instead of saying, you know, that chick, you know, Rachel. I'm really gonna mispronounce her name. Yuchitel. I'm gonna go with Rachel Yuchitel. Okay, Yuchitel. So that's how it sounds in French. And she explains how she was like a party hostess. Like, she was the, yo, I make sure you celeb types, you dudes with money, y'all get hooked up. By the time this evening is done, you're going to feel like the king you deserve to feel like. She was like a hostess. She was like, yo, that guy, you need to hook up with him. And so they went from Tiger Woods being a successful golfer, and then all of a sudden, I guess he gets married, and then all of a sudden, we talk about how he starts hanging out with Michael Jordan and I'm really going to forget his name. Charles Barkley. Hey, all right. Good for me. I remember his name. Charles Barkley. And he's in a club with these guys and he's looking. And then Tiger was looking at them going, watching them, you know, pick up. Like, they're big, you know, ultra masculine black men. They were like, yo, they rich black men. It's like fucking... Girls, you know, coming at them, and he's just looking at them, going, "Yo, what should I tell these girls?" You know, he's he was emulating these guys, right? What should I say about these women? What should I tell these women? Because, you know, he's the shy type. He's the, and all that. And Jordan tells him, he said, dude, just tell me you're Tiger Woods. Anyway, so I love this scene where he, again, identified to him being the shy type, being around, you know, sorry, I'm laughing at, I was the quote-unquote successful kid, hanging out with my cousins, trying to pick up girls with them. So what do you want to do in your life? Dude, that's not how you go for it. Anyway, I had no game. That's my point. This is where I'm going with this. No game. And I was that guy. So fast forward, Rachel, you could tell, she said before she hooked up with Tiger Woods, she said she was, you know, doing her thing. And she noticed Tiger Woods sitting at a bench by himself, talking to no one. So she approaches him and says, yo, you good? Need anything? And then they hit it off from there. And it's like, I can tell that Tiger Woods had a moment of whatever, just being his... She allowed him to be like, hey, I don't know what the exchange was, but the point is, they hit it off. Mind you, this nigga was married. But he hooks up with this girl, and she becomes his mistress, the infamous mistress. So let me get to, I think, the strongest part, the most powerful part of this documentary, the part that I really like locked onto. There's a part where they explain how Tiger Woods' dad, as good as a golf coach as he was and whatever, again, he was a shitty dad when it came to being an example on how to be around women. Again, I can relate to that. I'm using the language shitty dad in the sense that him and his homeboy, I forget his name, a white dude, he was a family friend, and he's the one explaining the story. He said, yo, and he could say, he's like, he was near tears explaining this part. He says, yo, yeah, we were like pussy hounds, man. Like, Tiger would go play golf, and we would take advantage of his celebrity status, and we would like hook up with these chicks in these camps or whatever, these trailers or whatever, but like, you know, we were like banging cocktail waitresses and shit like that. Yeah, you know, it's like what's that line by Biggie? Goes, yo, pass these hoes around, pass them like a coal. And and the guy explaining, this white dude, he's explaining, and you could tell, like, yeah, we didn't know better. We're adults. We're grown men. And this, and Tiger was like a teenager, and he's seen that. We were like his examples, right? And I love to see where he's like, he's close to me. Like, there's like a sense of shame, a sense of disappointment. He's like, I really shouldn't be telling you this, but it's like he's trying to say that, yo, everything you've heard about Tiger Woods is true. But he likely got it from us. And I love to see where he says, sorry, champ, we let you down. Because in that moment, it had me thinking about all my male role models. Everyone that I've looked up to. Everyone that I've, like, were like my examples about womanhood. And everyone from, yeah, man, fucking, yeah, there's nothing wrong watching, you know. Every male role model that let me down in that moment, were like him. I'm saying, sorry, champ, we let you down. It like, I felt that shit. Because if you can't tell, if you've been listen to this podcast from the beginning, there's been like a certain anger I've had towards the men in my life. Now, I'm not placing all the blames on them, but there is a huge level of disappointment. Huge level of disappointment, mainly because I remember going from feeling less than these men because I couldn't achieve what they achieve, which is surround themselves, have meaningless sex with all kinds of women. I remember looking up to them being like, how do you do it? How do you talk to girls? They're like, man, it's just easy, man. You just gotta stop being a little bitch. But I remember feeling like I was less than because I couldn't do what they did. And then you fast forward, I become an adult, and I'm like, oh, you guys aren't special artists. You guys aren't like pickup. I mean, you're pickup artists, but you're actually scam artists. You guys are scamming these women. When they went from pickup artists to scam artists, I'm like, it was just a huge disappointment. And that guy going, sorry, champ, we let you down. It felt like them saying, yo, homie, we didn't know any better. At least you're the one breaking this generational curse. This doc, shout out to those of you who watch Veep. Documentary. We'll call it that. Okay. The documentary also reminded me of, God damn it. Sorry, hit the microphone. This documentary also reminded me of why I do this podcast. Like I said, it's like, see, the challenge is I'm worried that I'm going to say things on this podcast that I may regret later. Reveal shit about myself that I may, if I'm confronted, I'll be like, oh, I said that? I might backpedal. But the point is I'm trying to accomplish, I don't know how to do it. It's like, sure, you could judge me, but this is like the full spectrum. It's me being authentic. It's me being real. It's me. It's like I joke on, because it's not true. I said, yo, if I'm ever cheating on a woman, you'll find out about it on this podcast. It's my attempt to like have an honest conversation with the man in the mirror, because growing up as a preacher's kid, I had no sense of who I was. I grew up being a chameleon. It's like with church people, I'm one way. With white people, I'm another way. With my rocker friends, I'm this way. Like, I was the guy who pretty much got along with everyone. But in the way I accomplished that is I would flush whoever I was. It's like, fuck it. You don't have an opinion. You don't know what yes is. Fuck it. Be black doesn't. Whenever I'm in the presence of other people, I become whatever the fuck they want me to be. I would become whatever the fuck they want me to be. To them, I'm like, oh, he's such a nice person. But deep down, I'm like sacrificing myself for others. And as a result, it led me to be like, I don't know who the fuck I am. I've been comparing myself to Omar Epps in the movie In Too Deep. Exactly. In Too Deep. Am I a cop infiltrating criminals, or am I a criminal pretending to be a cop? So yes, there may be times on this podcast I might say things that to you, you'll be like, ooh, that's cringe. Ooh, I would never admit that kind of shit. But the point is, it's an exercise into trying to find my real self, because I've been spending most of my life hiding that guy. Are there better ways to go about it? Well, you know what? Fuck it. I mean, good for you. But this is me. My first episode, I nicknamed it my manifesto. And I'm like, yeah. So some people write manifesto and shoot up a discotheque or shoot up their place. But because I live in Canada and gun laws are a little too complex, like it's, you know, I don't know. Like it's, I'm sure if I Google how to get a weapon, it's just a lot of work. It's a lot of fucking work. So I'm like, manifesto, instead of shooting up clubs, I'm just going to shoot up the world with these podcasts. But, and this is what I'm getting. It's like, I think about these people who do horrendous shit. And it's like, before they get, people are like, yo, he was such a nice person. He was, I don't know. It's like I'm scared of, it's like my hope is by being real on this microphone, it prevents me from not being aware of the Hulk within. I'm explaining this to you while trying to explain it to myself, I'm realizing. Yeah. Anyway, but I think it's very common amongst men to not be in touch with who the fuck you are. I think I've been disappointed by enough men who said, yo, fuck that. I ain't no insert homophobic term over here. Only to realize that, I'm into this gay shit. Well, of course, they never admit it. It's always like a surprise. It's always like, it's like the very common, the white person who is like, when they get drunk, all of a sudden the racism comes out. It's like, oh my God, that's not who I am. Really? Really? Because the liquor kind of reveals you. I mean, if that was who you are, would you be able to admit it to yourself? I'm trying to avoid being, thing about being a hetero male, we suck at getting in touch with our authentic self. I'm trying to reverse that shit. That documentary reminded me of my effort of trying to get in touch with the real self. Because I know what it's like to compare. Yo, I think if I was one of those married guys, I'd be one of those people who are like cheats on their wives and be like, how the fuck did that happen? Again, I recommend if you can, fellow preachers' kids, I recommend watching the documentary. And don't watch, if you're watching it going, oh, I'm feeling superior to Tiger Woods. Nah, man, I really love when human, especially men. I think it's because it's a bigger deal when men could be like, this is who I am. This is my soul. This is me. This is me looking at the mirror naked. And being like, wow, shit, I'm fat. Oh, shit, I am not the amazing human. My ego has had me lying about who I was. Like, I think Kirk Franklin, I love this word, this prayer he says, one of his songs, he goes, thank you for allowing me to see myself the way you see me. The idea of this concept of God being able to see through all the bullshit, for all the suit and tie, for all the women, all the money, all the like for who you actually are. It's not a common thing for us male. With that said, this concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. I really forgot the name of the show, my podcast. Anyway, again, shutuppodcast.com is the email address. shutuppodcast411@gmail.com is the email. And before I end, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green. With the red, black, and the red, blue. Rouge et bleu, motherfucker. 1804. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question, are you an outcast? Black outcast. This episode is rated R and F, F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff. Record label, that's a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Thank you for listening. And remember, please, 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 please be kind to your favorite podcast. Peace.
I am your king now!